Yeah, the most loving person you will ever meet is not here this weekend, but he was planning on being here, and that's John Bowell. And when BJ says, get the big idea and all else follows, I think John emphasized that more than anybody. When he was in high school, they had a tutor for him. Can you imagine? I had to have somebody get me to school and not tutor me once I got there. But he was that slow upstairs. But once he attended Galen Price up at Palmer, John got the big idea. He went all, he was an outstanding student, up in the A and B's, never had a tutor up there, and has been a leader in this profession ever since. Now what happened to John Boutwell right there? He got the big idea. And a lot of people have been searching for that for many years. And John and I are like brothers. Bert was our big brother. But the kind of heart he has, he fell down full flight of steps, broke his hip, pelvis. That's painful, dear God. And then he got infected in that break. Two more times he had to go cut him up. So needless to say, he ain't here today, okay? And I said ain't, I meant ain't. But he, so we, our next step was John. I know you want to say something to these people. They love you, they know you. And he said, oh, I do. And he was scheduled to come, and then if we couldn't get him to come, we were going to get him to do a little talk on the screen for you. But turned out they'd give a test run on that, and he just couldn't do it. And Mary didn't want him to do it. He wanted to do it. He went, I don't care what. These are chiropractors that I want to. He was always that way, you know.
And he does have two boys that are chiropractors, and his son-in-law is a chiropractor.
Yeah, they call it the Boutwell Group.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a group, all right.
We like to tell John he's not well, he's Boutwell.
Enough said.
I told you. So, Dr. Sweat, tell us, I know you were in the Navy for 2 years, you come out of World War II, and you went to Palmer. I don't know that I've ever heard what made you decide to go to chiropractic school.
Oh, all right, thank you. But my sister had migraine headaches, and she's taking phenobarbital and all the drugs, and it weren't helping her. And she went to a chiropractor, Palmer chiropractor, and he adjusted her atlas and the headaches cleared up. So I went with her and he showed me the old nerve chart and he said I ought to go to chiropractic school, and I did.
Awesome. Very good.
And I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I'm glad you did too. There are a lot of people glad you did. So, awesome. And so then you go there and BJ's there.
Yeah, BJ
obviously,
was.
And that was, well, I guess BJ, he passed away in the early 50s, so.
BJ was right. Now, the problem in 1910, the medics were saying the vertebrae would not move, that the end plates would tear and break before they moved. So BJ's trying to move something that everybody says won't move, so he's jumping up in the air and coming down on the neck. But at the same time, his program was, he said, it takes a lot of force to push a nail into a board, but he said, I can take a 1-pound hammer and hit it, and the hammer recoils and drives the nail in. So his program was, the adjustment was a toggle recoil. And who could toggle the fastest and recoil the prettiest were the ones that were the best adjusters. And
that was me.
So he was right. That was
B. John style. I had the benefit of working with B.J. in the B.J. Palmer Clinic. And my job as a, what do you call it?
Catcher.
Huh?
The catcher.
Catcher. That was me. Because when he hit him, he knocked the hell out of him, man. Pow! Man. My job was not let him bounce over twice. That's what he's talking about, dude.
Yeah, I was an intern in his clinic, too.
And that was the word I was looking
for. And he would adjust them, and we'd roll them in the back room on a cot. They'd have to rest 4 hours. Then we'd roll them back for him to examine them again.
Oh, you got to do that, too, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, that was fun.
Yeah, they're back there in the dark, man. I had a rest area, too, but at least I turned the light on for them.
So then, obviously, you were there, and BJ was toggling at that time.
Yeah.
And so then, let me make
this statement. I was there in 47, and he was adjusting the Atlas on the Atlas transverse on a side posture table. And that was the only technique I was ever taught. So there's a little controversy on when and all that. But at the same time, he did figure out how to take the pisiform bone and to put the other hand in and give the adjustment. Now, part of that generation was all of his adjustments were straight down. And the second generation, John F. Grassi, came along in 46 and said, now BJ has proved the vertebrae move. Now the question is, how much do they move and what direction? And he was the first one to bring any angles and vectors into the adjustment. And so I was very fortunate in the mid-50s. Grostick asked me to help him teach his seminars. So I did wait for him to die. A lot of them don't want to wait for me to die to change hours. But anyway. I said when he died, I wanted to develop an instrument that would do the same thing as hand adjusting. And so that was 1970. So 3 generations of chiropractic Atlas adjusting. BJ's adjustment was 38 pounds. Grostick adjustments were 12 pounds, and our instrument adjustment is 6 pounds. So here's 3 generations, and all of them are to lighter and lighter force in adjusting the Atlas. The occipital Atlas axis joints is a diarthrodial joint. Diarthrodial means freely movable, and it's a synovial joint, which has a fluid to help it move. So it's not the horrendous forces, it's the angles and the directions.
And positioning.
Yeah, and Grostick said the 50% is what happens above and 50% is what happens below. So if they're not in the right position and support, it won't work.
Right.
The patients ask me, how can that little bit of force move the Atlas? And I tell them a little tiny key starts a 2,000-pound car, but your key don't start my car. You got to have the right key. But at the same time, we've coming down, the adjustments should fit the architectural structure of the joint. So the Atlas really can rotate about 5 degrees, and 5 degrees is about an eighth of an inch. So it's more like a teeter-totter rather than moving straight across.
Right. And when you're talking about that rotating, you're talking about rotating
around the condyles. Yes.
In the A to P view, or what we call the frontal view,
right,
rotating around there, not necessarily the rotation anterior to posterior.
Right, but the, let me say this, there's no translation in the Oxford Atlas area. The condyles are called an arcuated joint. They are, and condyles means knuckle. So it has to rotate, it can't move laterally. So here you should x-ray them, and we usually always adjust them on the high side to bring it back to the level. So three generations now, we say BJ got us to first base, Grostic got us to second base, and the instruments got us to third base. But the next crowd's got to get us to home base.
And there you go. There you go. There's your.
And we're not going backwards. Everything is right. But the next crowd's got to figure out how to do it better and how it can last and how you can set the atlas and it not come out of alignment. We adjusted John Boutwell one time and he held 15 years. If I'd known he was going to hold 15 years, I could have charged him $10,000.
All right, we've been talking about value in here, right? So there you go. There you go. So obviously, Dr. Roy, you've been into the scientific side of this and everything that you've done to study the atlas. And I always, you know, say, and this is the absolute truth, that whatever he says, I'm going to listen to because he's forgotten more about the atlas than I'll ever know.
Well,
so
thank you.
I remember I started, it was 1992 when I found this guy, and he adjusted me the first weekend ever at Palmer.
Yeah.
That you were up there, but we had to go down to the, not Knights of Columbus, what was the?
Oh, yeah.
Masonic Temple. You couldn't be on campus.
Yeah.
So, and Dr. Tyler Mason brought me up there.
Yeah.
And he got me films, and Dr. Roy, I was the first one for him to adjust that day. And I've been adjusted a lot through chiropractic school, and as a chiropractor, I've been out for 3 years. And when he performed that adjustment that day, something happened that had never happened before. I had never felt that before. And I didn't feel anything on the adjustment, but what I felt afterwards was at the time for me, unexplainable.
It's called life.
And I had never had my lights turned on like that, to say. And so I immediately went and started studying this and like, I've got to have this. My patients have to have this. And started flying down to Atlanta and taking the courses and following him around the clinic. And so I owe a lot to him on that. So the science part of that, but Dr. Roy, we're kind of investigating philosophy this weekend and things like that. At what point your sister had went and got the migraines well, but at what point did you kind of get the big idea or what BJ talks about in that chiropractic philosophy that this is it?
The human body is a self-healing organism. And if you cut your hand, it starts trying to heal immediately. Cut it in 10 places, all 10 starts trying to heal. And we like to say about using the rake to rake leaves, the rake handle wears thin and out. We build calluses so we can rake more leaves. So there's something in us that's not in the whole handle. So now, and the latest results are with the cancer projects and those things is how we can influence the body to heal itself. And so we had one very famous pancreatic doctor, Dr. Gonzalez, comes down from New York, and he was curing all of these pancreatic cases. And I met some of them that had lived 20 years. And usually pancreatic cancer, you got 6 to 9 months to live. And so,
right.
So it is a system of in the health field. All of us have to try to help find the body how it can heal itself.
And Dr. Gonzalez and his cancer program made sure they all had to make sure their
he did. He and Donald Kelly came down to my office and they brought about 10 cases with them We adjusted them, and all of them did good. And so they call it, they wanted the structure in alignment. So they wanted the head and neck straight. And so he then said for all of his cancer cases, they had to come to Atlanta and get adjusted.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, I like that very much.
Yes, indeed. Tell us where some of the, I mean, I know people have come from all over the world, but where have some of your cases come in from that you've taken care of? Any particular ones that you want to?
Well, we've had them from Switzerland, and we've had them from Japan, we've had them from Hawaii, we've had them from all over, and we certainly need more of them.
Indeed, indeed. And I know, and I think still to this day, but there were, when I was going through the early stages, in the early 90s, there was a very large contingency of Japanese doctors,
oh, yeah.
Korean doctors,
yeah.
And they were not just bringing chiropractors over, they were bringing like neurologists and orthopedists with
right,
them, medical
right,
doctors that wanted to study this
right,
over there, right?
Right, right.
And so it was, it's interesting to me, the culture over there, and I don't think we let them do that, but they were all about buying the instrument and starting to adjust the atlas.
Yeah.
Neurologist and orthopedist, right?
Yeah, we had about six or eight of them come over from South Korea. But we told them we didn't sell the instrument to medical doctors. We told them they'd have to go to chiropractic college. Now, a medical doctor can go to chiropractic college and graduate in about 2 years. They give them a lot of credit. And one of them did go to Palmer, and we did sell him our instrument.
Oh, very good.
But at the same time, we say they have to have a DC degree. That's another interesting story, kind of a sidetrack thing. You see, in America, the medics were telling BJ, we gonna kill you. So BJ said, we gonna kill you. So about 100 years ago, it was a big fight. But now here's history considers 30 years a generation. So now you got about three generations of medical doctors, and they don't have that old fight and fear and hate anymore. As a matter of fact, Dr. Kanai was there today, but we had a medical doctor bring his wife in today. And so we want the medics to come in here, and we want them all to be have the atlas adjusted. And they all are very friendly, and we don't have the old hate program. And so that's great now. This one patient called, her brother was a cardiologist, and she said, I got a back problem. And he said, I don't know nothing about backs. Go see a chiropractor. And then this one patient though came in and said, the medical doctor told her, now don't go see a chiropractor. She said, I never thought about it until he told him that. But I said, go back and ask him if he belongs to the Flat Earth Society. That's how far back in the woods he is. But back to Korea, what happened was, in the United States, the medics were saying chiropractors were quacks and charlatans, but chiropractors were adjusting people, and the people would go to the state capitol and say, we want chiropractors to have a law. And the first law was in Kansas. Georgia got its law in 1921. But now in South Korea, the medical doctors, and here's the big problem, the medical doctors saying chiropractic is great and we want to do it. And so now it's harder for them to get a license because you got a group doing it always. So that's a bigger problem with them than it was with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll just tag in on that, on the reputation that Dr. Sweat has developed with the medical community. And shortly after Dr. Christie opened in Chattanooga, we get a call, and he's sending a patient up. She's from Chattanooga that ended up in your office down there, a high school girl having migraine headaches all the time, had missed enough of her junior year that she almost had to repeat it, but it had to quit cheerleading, all those type of things. and the way that she had gotten to Dr. Roy's office, she had consulted everywhere. Father's an attorney, and they had taken her everywhere, and she ended up down here in Atlanta at one of, I understand, one of the top neurologists in the country. And she had, you can imagine the amount of imaging she had had, tons and tons of imaging, and had been to dozens of other doctors and specialists. She gets to this neurologist down here in Atlanta. He takes one look at, I believe it was a CT scan, and says, "Oh my gosh, look at the rotation of your upper cervical spine. You need to go see Dr. Roy Sweat." And Dr. Roy found out she was from Chattanooga and said, "Well, hey, you know, Dr. Christy Osborne's up there. You need to go see her." And she came in, and we got incredible results with that case, and returned her to back to normal lifestyle. And there's more to that story that I'll tell another time, but we appreciate that. But that came from, obviously, you've built a respectful relationship with this neurologist.
All right, I would suggest whatever city you're in, that you call the neurologist. Neurologists examine people, and they don't treat them. And so you can call the office and tell the secretary you'd like to meet the doctor neurologist, so you have someone to refer patients to. Now, the flip side is he should refer patients to you. But I would say we get probably one or two patients a week from a neurologist. And they are real friendly, and there was a patient in, as a matter of fact, this morning that a neurologist sent in. And so the neurologist here in Atlanta tells them that their head is out of alignment, or the atlas is out of alignment. And so we say we want that, and there's 250,000 dentists. And the dentist has the worst ergonomic profession in the world. They lean in the head over there for hours at a time. I've never seen a dentist that didn't need their atlas adjusted. And so we need to have the dentist send us patients, and we need them to come in. And there's about 80,000 osteopaths, and we need them to come in. And we have an osteopath here in Atlanta that had an atlas orthogonal doctor come in her clinic and adjust all her patients' atlas. So we need to get with these doctors, and there's over a million medical doctors out there, and so we need to have them sending us patients, and we need them to come in themselves. So the old hate and fighting is over 100 years ago, and so now we need to blend in with the health profession. We don't want the whole pie, we just want our share of the pie. I don't have the equipment, I don't have the training to do those things. And Dr. Crow, one of your people, his daddy, Hugh, called me about 5 o'clock one morning, and he was having some terrible pain in his abdomen. So I met him down at the office, and he had appendicitis. And so I told him, I said, "You got appendicitis, you got to go to the ER room." He said, "No, I just want to get my atlas adjusted." I said, "Okay, but about 10 minutes of that pain ain't gone, I'm taking you." Anyway, we did take him down there, and the surgeon's wife was a patient of mine, and the surgeon told Dr. Crow, "If you have insurance, we'll take insurance. If you don't have any insurance, there won't be any charge for the surgery." So are we trying to eliminate those people? No, we want to be congenial with them and work with them. And so the worm has turned, and this generation needs to add to it.
Amen. Amen. So tell me how you two got to know each other then. Did you guys know each other at school, or I guess, no, it wouldn't have been at school. How did you guys meet and get together?
I'm just a good old boy.
I think he was with John Boutwell, or Bert Pierce.
No, Bert Boutwell.
Bert Boutwell?
Yeah.
Okay, Bert Boutwell.
And Bert went to Navy and graduated about the time you did. Bert was a people guru, and you were the guru. I really got to know him through Bert Pierce.
Yeah, Bert Pierce Senior. Now, Bert's wife died about 5 years ago, and he got remarried. And I told him, I said, Bert, I lost my wife. I said, I don't have enough nerve to get married again. He said, all you got to do is say, I do.
And he did.
Very good.
But you're talking about junior, not senior.
Yeah.
Now I go back in, clear back in this.
Yeah, that's three. That's about four generations of chiropractors with Bert Pierce.
Yeah, he was all sold out day one.
Bert's daddy used to come in to get adjusted. So they're four generations of chiropractors. Well, I wanted to pay a tribute to Dr. Owens. And I quoted Rudyard Kipling's, but I said Dr. Owens had been at the top of the mountain and he had been at the bottom of the well. And now he's back at the top of the mountain again. And Rudyard Kipling's poem, If, says, if you can meet triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, you as the world and all that's in it, and what's more, you'll be a man, my son. So Tom's been up and down, and he's back up, and I think that's a miracle. Not many people have ever experienced those things in their lives.
Amen.
So it's great. I do tell him that the doctor told him to watch his stomach, so he got it out there where he could watch it.
All right, he started it, right? Can I tell one on him? Say yeah.
Okay.
That's the tightest son of a gun you ever seen in your life. He's a good man. When his wife was alive, he come up driving this old pickup truck, the doors are flopping, and that was the doctor coming in. That's the way they don't come to the office in an old beat up pickup truck. But his wife drove up there in a Mercedes with windshield wipers on the
lights.
Yeah. I said, well, he's a tightwad, but he's a nice tightwad. I'm going to tell this. The one I think is that Roy Sweat's the only one in the world I know that could put duct tape on his on his carpet right down the middle of the floor. You know, get away with it.
Well, we're still driving the truck.
Is that still out back, you know?
Back, my truck is still there. Uh-huh. Now, I don't think, is Jackie here?
Yes.
Okay, but anyway, I want to tell you how.
Wait a minute.
I want to tell you how to put seminars on and stay married. Now, when we put seminars on, all the profit we make, I give to my wife. So instead of her saying, you're always going on seminars, she always say, when you going to have another seminar?
She never made any excuses for you, but she needed to. No, this is my prize story, though. You know, I'm infatuated. When he checks someone out, believe me, all his students, he never beat a man at his own game, you know? And none of them can analyze it and do it like Roy can. And he is so exact. So exact. Here I am. I'm not a old guy, but I'm a worshiper thereof. And before he developed the instrument, it took 6 years to become proficient in the rustic work. Because I asked Bert when I first seen all this, this is good stuff, man. how long will it take me to be proficient in it? And they said, 6 years. Man, I got 5 clinics. That means how many years are we going to have people that we aren't proficient about? And it was just too much. They can be proficient with that machine because I've done this with them. I make them out of class, come out of school. They can zero them in.
There was 111 things you could do wrong in hand adjusting. And one of the leaders in one of the upper cervical groups made a statement, nobody can adjust the atlas as good as I can. And that's the opposite of what you want. Now, we designed an instrument that we hit a button. It's a solenoid in there that fires a pin, and it's 6 pounds of force, but I can't hit the button better than you. And I'll repeat that. I cannot adjust better than you. You can adjust the atlas as good as I can, because I can't hit the button better than you. And that's what it should be. Anybody that wants to do it can. Now, you may not want to do it, but if you can do it as good as anybody else. And that's
well, you prove that.
I will put one caveat on that, and that was I had an associate one time, and I still had the old instrument that we stomped it instead of the button. Dr. Kanai doesn't even know about those. Oh, okay. But have you ever seen Dr. Roy adjust with one of those?
Yeah, video, yeah.
Okay. But he stomped that pedal, right?
By foot only.
When I was taught, you know, you do what the master does. So I always, man, I stomped that thing. So Dr. Zier came to work for me, and I was gone, and he seen my patient, and I came back in, and Dr. Zier would just barely put his toe on it, click, like that. And I'd hit that thing, it made a rattle, and the patient come back into me the next week and said, I don't think he got my atlas in. And I go, oh, really? Why? And he doesn't hit that pedal near as hard as you do. So we've taken that out now with the push button, so they don't get that anymore. But
there was one chiropractor, we did have the foot pedal that fired the adjustment, and she said, you ought to write a book on healing feet instead of healing hands.
They could have made a movie on that one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because they were supposed to make one on healing hands. Who was that guy, Joe? Wrote that book. Anyhow, BJ was supposed to. Never mind, I won't go there. I want to tell my story on him, but he pulled me right off. He did.
Well,
this is how exact he is, you know, you hearing all this. And I'm a patient over there. And I'm very, y'all know this because I've taught you what the patient feels, the impression you make, everything says something. Remember that. Everything says something. I hadn't got that over to him yet, but it does. And, you know, it's like God said in his cash register. What's his cash? Where did he have that thing placed? Right in there open where they pay cash. He said, we do cash business here. We thought we'd let them know it. Anyhow, that's another story. But with him, he's so exact, and he'll x-ray that thing so, and if an associate doesn't get it back, you go to do it. You're going to keep on. You get sometimes I spend half a day getting x-rayed just. Ain't right yet. Ain't right. Well, that's pretty exacting. And I'm looking for what the patient's feeling, and I am the patient, and I go in this x-ray room in this old building, and he lines me up, puts that clamp on me, makes sure I don't move. Everything is, I was in there about, it seemed like a half hour just cranking that thing. And, okay, hold still. he steps out around behind the sheetrock, I mean, the lead screen to shoot the picture. And as he does, that old floor was so wobbly that I felt that whole thing shift. And when you're really looking for it, you know, here I got all this trouble to get it. Just. And then sometimes a guy steps off the floor and the floor moves and the thing's attached to the floor. I told Roy about it. I said, Roy, you got a problem in your x-ray room. The floor gives. And that was a big old boy that was taking the x-ray. Do you think he fixed the floor? Hell no, he didn't. He ain't gonna spend that kind of money. He goes, fires that x-ray guy, and gets a little old gal in there. You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that. Now we redesigned everything.
Well, you did.
Yeah, I agree. I appreciate it.
And then I did suggest one day, the lead wall, you're supposed to use lead-loaded masonite or so forth up there, you know, paneling. Not him. The whole wall's lead. I mean, you walk in there, I thought I was in a shooting gallery. It was all lead. Only Roy Sweat. Only. I always tell folks when I'm saying, I'll get well, pay attention to that guy. He's a genius. But whatever he does in office work and procedure, go blind all of a sudden. You don't see nothing. If it's going to be done wrong, Roy, do it. I did get in on his work one time, though, to help out. I saw what he was doing. And when they got that, his machine could get that adjustment teaching from 6 years down to months. I mean, I got impressed because I'm always interested in opening offices. That's my thing. And I wanted to help out. So we had an organization kind of like this, and we took up a little offering and bought him a video fluoroscopy. That was a rare thing in those days. We had to go to Picker to get it. And I think that's the best thing in his promotion or his teaching that he's had in a long time. Because that little bit of force he's talking like this, he said, everybody ain't doing nothing. How many of you have ever seen that video for us? That's a sight, isn't it?
Great.
I mean, you all ought to see it, just to know how much force it really takes, if you got everything else right. It was just like John Wooten in basketball. He even had them putting their socks on a certain way. He said, if you get everything right, it'll happen anyhow. And that's that kind of with Roy. And when we shot that thing, you can't believe that Atlas looked like it jumped clear out of his neck, came back in, settled in the middle. That's how much force over, what'd you call it, 6 pounds?
6 pounds.
I guess that's 6 pounds, so it's all they ever put on my.
Well, it took me about 10 years to arrive at that. Our first instrument would go a half an inch deep, and I found I was rocking everything in there. Then we went to a quarter inch, an eighth of an inch, and then we went to a percussion instrument. When the head leaves vertical, it goes towards your feet. So when you're lying on your side and you push down and the head goes towards your feet, you're taking it farther from vertical. So I said, we got to have an instrument that can move the Atlas without rocking the head towards the feet. So we ended up with a percussion type instrument, and there's no excursion in it. So it took me about 10 years to figure that out, but we did it 1980. We haven't changed it since then.
Can I ask him a question beyond tell a story?
Yeah.
I got plenty more, but BJ had that statement all over Palmer in his epigrams and so forth, that get the big idea and all else follows. When I told you about John Boutwell, once he got the big idea, dear God, when did you
I remember one of his epitaphs on the wall said, early to rise, early to bed and early to rise, work like hell and advertise.
Yeah. I remember that one, and I advertised, and I worked like hell. Yeah, I got that one. There was one up there that, in the clinic up on the wall, at last, BJ found the answer. I thought you'd kind of like that one. Did you ever see that one?
Well,
that was John Boutwell's.
Yeah, he was right. He came up with an adjustment on the pisiform bone.
Yeah.
And on the atlas. So we say if it hadn't been for him, I don't think we'd be here. And so we have to give him credit for everything he did. And so...
He's a pretty smart old cookie. I got to know him pretty well there toward the end. He never wavered, not a bit. John and I felt like we'd found it, and we still do. What do you think the big idea is? Now, if you'd like for me to share with you what John and I thought.
Well, I'd like to tell you there's three things to make a good doctor. You got to be broke, so you got to work. Second, you got to have gray hair to look distinguished. And third, you got to have hemorrhoids to look concerned.
I have tried for years to get to him to write down all those one-liners and little stories like that. I just walk in the buildings and, what one-liner are we using today, Roy? And he's always got one right there. I remember when I took my wife to him, he looked at Jackie and says, what size truck hits you, Carol? And is that some way to introduce yourself? Come into a consultation. What size truck hits you? And Jackie responded, I don't know, but Roy, it sure messed me up. And he had her in his hand. And that's all he'd ever said. How do you do that? But there's only one Roy Sweat, I can tell you that. And there was one P.J. Palmer, and I can tell you that.
Well, Tom and I are getting a little older. And
a little?
A little older. And we say, again, there ain't no fat old ones. The fat ones make 70 and 80, and the skinny ones make 90 and 100. And so Tom's getting a little older, and it's a story about Kingfish on the old Amos and Andy show. Kingfish said he must be getting older, said he fell asleep twice during the burlesque show last night.
I think you better save these people from all that. once he gets going.
But they did ask Caesar what was the best death, and he said sudden. So we hope it's sudden, and let's try to save what's left.
That's what we're doing sitting up here today, buddy.
Okay.
That's exactly why I wanted you up here. And Todd had to work a little bit to get you here. But has it been worth it having Roy here with us?
Well,
it has for me. Tom's been all week saying, you ready for that meeting with Roy? And when John wasn't going to be here, I felt you would have been laughing down the hallway, John and the three of us got together. If you find any pictures of us around, we're always screaming at each other, just laughing. Because this morning, Dr. Hubbard came up and introduced me to her husband, and he's going on about how much fun she has. And y'all noticed that a couple of times in the awards, that girl that was giving the testimony, that, you know, that she came and fell our love. Is that you, wasn't it? Yeah, well, you just raked all over me, because that love was real. And you were responding to it. But the key to it is you kept saying, I'm having fun doing this. Now, do y'all think Roy Sweat has a good time doing what he does? I guarantee he does. You walk in there and start laughing whether you want, whether anything said funny or not, just, you're supposed to laugh. Burt Bout was the same way. Gonstead, kinda. But if you're not laughing and having a good time, you need to attend a few more classes. Because what you laugh at, you can last at. I just made that up.
I like that. That's a pretty good one. Somebody write that down.
Well, that's Roy. Roy has a good time in what he's doing. I remember God said one time I had my sailboat cruising the Caribbean, and I said, hey, old man, you ought to take off a few weeks sometime, take a cruise with me. Because I enjoyed that sailboat. And he says, all right, Dr. Owen, you can find something I enjoy doing more than what I'm doing right here, and I'll go do it with you. And he meant that. Roy, same way. He either has to like himself a lot to stay in that clinic almost 24/7, or... Oh, by the way, those of you who, if you really want to last it out, you want to be somebody, you got to be bigger than you. And that's what we've been talking about all this time right here. Roy sees beyond himself. Those I see head shaking and her over there make sure and so forth. But if you don't have to do something beyond yourself to perpetuate your program, it's going to die when you die.
Okay, we say the next best thing to a good speech is a short speech. And Alfred Hitchcock said, the movie should not be longer than the time the bladder can endure.
I got you. Get
so
to work.
Let him have it.
He's telling you it's over.
I understand. Okay. I got it. So what do you guys think? Was this worth it?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And we got to get Roy back to the clinic.
Got to get back
to the clinic, and then he's teaching all weekend. And you go to Life University and teach out there?
Yeah, we teach every Thursday out there.
And
we say you can't get too tired hitting a little button, so we can work till you're 91. And I know you're at the right place in the right time, and things don't fall out of heaven. You have to make them happen. So you're right at the practice management company, and we recommend AMC over any of the others. And so we're happy to see that, and we're happy to see everybody here.
All right.
Let me say one more. I didn't listen to Hitchcock. Speech is over when it's over. But Dr. Boutwell, when I realized he just couldn't make it, I told him myself, I understand, John. I know there's been times that I've gotten any more where I just, not good for me to do that. And I finally accepted that, but I was going to get Daryl to make a talk on screen. He could talk to y'all for 3 to 20 minutes or something like that because he wanted to. He wanted to share with you. He wanted to be a part of this. And he is not here. And I miss him dearly not being here. Simply because he just can't make it. So I don't want to leave him out right to the end. He was Daryl was saying he wants to come. He's among people he loves and respects. And we're talking about his subject, chiropractic. So I wish y'all would do something for me. As you all got pencil and paper, you ought to have that out. His phone number is 706-541-0521. You know his name. His address is 2720 Louisville Road. That's spelled L-O-U-I-S. Now, I never got Louisville. Anyhow, Appling, Georgia. Don't send it to the Outwell Goop. Send John. And his zipper is 30802. Everybody get that? Drop a note to him and say, you were mentioned, you were missed, and that we love you. Take care of that for me. I appreciate that.
All right, there is one last story about the golfer. The 90-year-old golfer was talking to his pro, and he said, I can't get out of the sand traps.
Can't what?
Can't get out of the sand traps. So the pro said, you need to buy this new sand wedge. It does miracles. He said, no, I mean, I can't get out of the sand
traps. Nice. Very good. You guys can send anything to the Sweat Clinic, the Sweat Institute. You can look that up online. Global AO, is that still the?
Yeah.
GlobalAO.com is the website. So you can get the information, address there if you want to send this young man something. And it took me 68 years to get him here. So I'm going to make him come back sooner than that. So okay. Can we do 95 or 100? Where are we at for the next big event?
I would say you better do it soon.
Very good. Give these guys a big round of applause.
Hey, thank you. Okay, Tom, you did good.